they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pleasure now to introduce our friend, Andrew Seidel. He's the VP of Strategic Communication with Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Also has a new book out called American Crusade, How the Supreme Court is Weaponizing Religious Freedom. Andrew, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me on again, gents. It's a pleasure.
Yes, Andrew, excellent. I'm taking the first question. How is the Supreme Court weaponizing religious freedom?
I mean, if you were paying attention over the last few weeks, you got a good taste of how the Supreme Court is well on its way to turning what was once this hallowed protection that allowed people to believe as they wanted and live as they wanted so long as they weren't harming others, and really turn it into a tool, a weapon of Christian privilege, Christian supremacy, and Christian nationalism. I mean, there are a number of cases that came down, everything from the case that overturned Roe versus Wade to the case where the court allowed a coach at a public school to impose his personal religion on other people's children, to the case out of Maine where the court said that taxpayers can be forced to fund religious indoctrination at Christian schools. So we are just well on our way along the road to theocracy here. It's an alarming time.
Andrew, the term religious freedom, like many terms that the right takes over, I think there's different definitions depending on who you ask. How do you define religious freedom?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great point, and especially now, basically, really starting with Trump, maybe even a little before, that term really got tortured and warped, which is part of the weaponization. They're turning it on its head. They do this kind of jujitsu move where something that was meant to protect minorities from the tyranny of the majority is now all of a sudden this tool of the majority to impose on the minority. And this is what I look at in the new book, American Crusade. We act like these questions are so difficult and so hard, and they're not. It's actually pretty easy and basic to draw these lines and answer these constitutional questions. The first line that we're going to draw when it comes to religious freedom is you have a right to believe as you want, and that belief is unlimited. But you don't have the right to act on that belief all the time, right? Like the government can step in. If you say, well, God is telling me to kill you, the government can step in and say, hey, you actually don't get to do that. You might be able to believe it, but you don't get to do it, right? Like, so somewhere along the spectrum of action that's motivated by religion, the government can step in and say, sorry, you don't get to do that. And that comes when we're talking about harming other people. That's really where we draw the second line. It's your right to swing your religion ends at the right, where the rights of others begin. It ends at the nose of other people, just as your right to swing your fist ends at their nose as well. These are not these questions that we make into these hard Supreme Court cases. And then we see the facts twisted and tortured. Really religious freedom now has come to mean that baker in Colorado who can deny service to a gay couple because his God says so. Or the right to put up a 30-foot tall Christian cross on government property and then force taxpayers to maintain it. There's a lot of good studies now that are coming out that show that the meaning of religious freedom has changed depending on who is using the phrase and who is hearing the phrase.
Andrew, of course, in these examples, it always favors Christianity. It's religious, freedom for Christians. Right. And I perceive myself to be a Christian, rah-rah for my team, I guess. But, the example that I had always seen, the Christ example, was helping out the poor and being a peaceful human being and turning the other cheek. But you talk about the white nationalism and what actually is motivating them. Well, it ain't Jesus Christ, whether you think he's fact or fiction. They're not acting in a Christ-like fashion. So let me take the conversation that way, if I could. Tell us what the white nationalist movement is.
Well, I mean, really, There's an overlap of a number of different movements that we're seeing. I mean, if you take January 6th, for example, and look at kind of all of the disparate groups that were there on January 6th, you had the QAnon groups, you had the militia groups and the Second Amendment folks. You had this kind of wide swath of the right, I'll say, and they were united under the banner of white Christian nationalism, really. And that is, we're seeing, Marjorie Taylor Greene a couple of times, for instance, this week, talking about white Christian nationalism and Christian nationalism and how they should adopt that label and be proud of that label. But if you're looking at the overlap between white nationalism and Christian nationalism, it's pretty, if that were a Venn diagram, it's getting pretty close to a circle. And it really is an important caveat on the Christian nationalism altogether. I think one of the things that people don't realize is Christian nationalism is an attempt to codify the privilege of a class that is shrinking demographically, right? Conservative, white, Christian, heteronormative men, right? And they are used to a certain amount of power and privilege and not being criticized for saying and doing the things that are very worthy of criticism. And they have seen that shrinking in recent years. The adoption of Christian nationalism, the wave of Christian nationalism that has been crashing over the country in the last 5 years, is a deliberate pushback on that loss of privilege.
Marjorie Taylor Greene had to say, I am being attacked by the godless left because I said I'm a proud Christian nationalist. These evil people are calling me a Nazi because I proudly love my country and my God. The left has shown us exactly who they are. They hate America, they hate God, and they hate us. We don't hate you, our fine guest, Andrew Seidel, VP of Strategic Communication with Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Andrew, you're going to stick around for one more segment, at least a little bit into that segment. We got a few minutes
absolutely,
with you.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, you stick around as well. Doug Mastriano has a consultant on his campaign team. He apparently is the owner of Gab, and he went off on Jews and atheists. I want to play a little piece of that and get your reaction, Andrew, as well as our audiences. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I need you white people that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how y'all do.